I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is Mark 16, 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large and had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Thank you, Connie. This reading that Connie just did for us is, as we've been going through Scripture these past few months, we find there is so much in Scripture that oftentimes we overlook, we don't see, we read the surface, we don't read down deep, and there's so much down deep. And Mark has a thread in his Scripture. It's a really important thread, and that's what we're going to look at, because you may notice that this Scripture is about the resurrection, which just happens to be Easter Sunday. That's what we celebrate. So this very big day in the Christian year comes around to celebrate something that Mark celebrates all through his gospel. He doesn't just tell us about the resurrection. He tells us about resurrections all through his gospel. For Mark, everything Jesus did was resurrection. You think about it. Read the Gospel of Mark. I just had someone the other day say they read the entire Gospel of Mark just because they were curious. And I wondered what they were curious about. They wanted to see what the difference is. Okay, let's look at it this way. How many of you text or email? You can give me a show of hands if you text or email. All right. Being someone who text and email, have you ever said to someone, because they gave you a weird response, follow the thread, go back, look at the thread of the email or the text? Oh, yeah. That slipped by me. That's what Mark does. Mark gets us to this point, and he tells us that the people ran for fear. But he's saying, look back at the thread and see if you don't see what I'm really, really talking about. So here we are on Sunday, Easter Sunday, and Mark is screaming at us to look at this thread. C.H. Spurgeon said, "A man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as dollars and his words as pennies. If his life and doctrine disagree, the mass of onlookers accept his practice and reject his words." Is that not true? In the Gospel of Mark, we find wonderful stories of Jesus' miracles. Jesus didn't just go running to the cross and become a resurrected Lord. He demonstrated what that meant in our lives. For example, what did Jesus do? He got 12 men, fishermen, tax collector, 12 men, and resurrected them from being your simple everyday people to being disciples of the Son of God. He resurrected their lives in a very important way. If Jesus were standing here right now, and asked each and every one of you to follow him, would you feel that your life had been resurrected? That you'd been called to a higher calling? That something else was going on? Let's think about that, because that's really important. Then Jesus proceeds to raise, and the actual word, and think of this, in the Gospels, the actual word that Jesus is doing, the action of the word, is raising people. And here's the thing. We see that he was with Peter. And you heard this a few weeks ago. He goes into Peter's home. Peter's mom is debilitated with a fever. And Jesus raises her. That's the word used in the gospel. Raises her that she may serve again. The message is that we may save. That we may serve. That we may do these things. And that's the thread that Mark has in here. But he doesn't stop there. Mark goes on to say that we have new life. Did not the disciples, by following Jesus, have new life? It was a new way of living, wasn't it? So that's what he does. He raises. And he takes those of us who are hurting, who are ill. You see him on his journey, and he continues to raise them up. New life and resurrection go hand in hand. You cannot separate the two. If we're resurrected, we have new life. If we have new life, then we've been resurrected from something. Henry David Thoreau, in his classic book, Walden, told of a powerful custom of the Muklasi Indians. And I don't know if you ever read Walden, but it's a great book, and it has some really great things in it that we can learn from. But once a year, these Indians had a village cleanup that they called a busk. And what they did is they would spend the winter making new clothes, making new furniture, making everything new that they could, and they put it in buildings outside of the village. Then spring came. And the chief had them bring all of their furniture, all of their clothing, everything, and put it in a pile out in the middle of the camp. And then the chief lit it, and it began to burn. Now, here's the thing. It's burning, and then he calls for the people standing around the fire to take their clothes off. They all take their clothes off and they throw it in the fire. Everything burned. They stay right there to ensure everything is burned. 4 days later, everybody comes back out, stands around where the fire was, and the chief makes a new fire. But now it has sticks in it all the way around, and each family takes a stick with fire on it, goes back to their dwelling, and lights their candles. Then they go get their new furniture and their new clothes, and they put new furniture and new clothes. That is newness. That is how they start their new year, their new life. And that is what Jesus is calling all of us to do. He says, get rid of the old, burn it, burn it, burn it, and then start new in life. And that's why we hear the term new life in Jesus Christ, because Jesus wants us to clean out our huts, clean out the furniture, clean out the old clothes, and put on the new, and become a new person. So, Mark tells us that we have a place of renewal in Jesus Christ. All through the book, he talks about new life. Mark gives more examples of resurrection when he tells us about the leper. There's a leper. Jesus comes up to a leper. This is someone who has been banished, is not accepted at all by the people because they have leprosy. What does Jesus do? He heals the leper, and the leper is able to go back into the village. He is restored. Yet another word we see, he is restored. which means he's been resurrected, does it not? He has new life. The leper's no longer an outcast. He is now part of community. So then we see Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark, come up to a man with a withered hand. What does he do? He restores the hand. Someone that people would step back and go, oh, that's gross. Look at that hand. Jesus says, here you go, new life. Now when people look at you, they won't be ashamed. They won't have fear. They're going to want to be with you. New life. But we don't want to forget Jairus. Jairus, he comes to Jesus and he says, my little girl is dying. I need you. And Jesus goes to the home and people are standing outside the home and they say, she's dead. Jesus says, no, she's not. He goes in and says, Talitha kumi, and she rises. New life in Jesus Christ. Mark puts that thread all through his gospel. New life. All of these are resurrection stories. Restoration, resurrection, new life, all go together. Where there were once lives of disabilities, disease, other health issues, and even death, Jesus brings new life. New life. So, to each and every one of you today, Jesus says, are you going to be one of those with new life? Or are you going to hang on to the anger and the hate and the frustration that you have in your heart for others? And possibly even for yourself. If you are an individual who has been stymied by events in your life, if you're a person who feels displaced in society, that you're apart from others, dead even to your family, this is a day where you can seek new life in Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to be the one to turn around and go back and say, I want to be restored to you. Because I want a new life. I don't want to live with hate and anger and frustration. Now I'm going to tell you a story. It's a true story, and you're going to say to yourself, why would you tell such a story on Easter Sunday? But you'll find out. Years ago, there was a family that had a son in Korea. During the Korean conflict, which was a war, and they hadn't heard from him in some time, but you know, one day after the war ended, suddenly the phone rang. The mother answered, and it was her son. And she was excited, and she said, son, come home. Oh, my gosh, we thought we had lost you. We need you. We want you back. And the son said, I will, mother, but first I have a request. I have a buddy from the war that has been banged up pretty bad, and he only has one arm, one leg, and one eye, and I was wondering if he could come and stay with us. The mother said, well, that's great, son. He can come spend a week with us. You know, he can stay for a week. He says, no, mother, you don't understand. The friend is really banged up. He's going to need a lot of help. I'm asking you if he can come and live with us permanently. At this point, the mother objected. She said, son, you don't know how difficult this is going to be. That is going to be a serious time of commitment and a real drag on everyone. Son, that's just too much, but please come home. At that point, the telephone clicked. Dead. The next day, Army personnel came to see the mother. They said that her son had committed suicide the night before, and she needed to come and identify the body. So the parents went to the morgue. When they did, they confirmed that it was their son with one arm, one leg, and one eye. I wish the son had been honest. Perhaps things would have turned out differently. But it's a true story, and the thing is acceptance is so important. And Jesus lived that acceptance and resurrected people from a life where they felt that they were no longer accepted and became accepted. Whether they were a leper, a withered hand, or a little girl that had died, Jesus brought them back. Acceptance. That's one of the hardest things for us to do. It's very difficult, especially if we're harboring ill will or anger towards someone, is to accept them. You see, we live in a society full of banged up people. And if we have a Lord and Savior who, as we read in the Gospels, specializes in restoring banged up people like you and I, then why aren't we restoring banged up people? In marriage and family counseling, I see those who have been hurt and injured and devastated in their relationships. Add to that the condemnation and criticism of those not even in that relationship, who aren't in that home, who don't know the whole story, and they're passing judgment. Then you have someone in need of resurrection. Resurrection of mind and spirit, restoring to the community. As we come together on this Easter Sunday, we have a Lord who restored us, who resurrected us. Mark's gospel brings us a gift, not a gift that can be held, but a subtle gift that can be experienced in our hearts and minds. A gift that holds promise and can be fully appreciated when we find those in need of resurrection. And we, as Christians, as followers of Christ, should be looking for people who need resurrection and providing that resurrection for them, even if it's ourselves. Compassion, understanding, healing, non-judgmental love, those are all things that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for each and every one of us. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Indeed, this day and every day, may we rise to walk in newness of life. And equally important, may we help others do the same. Is it wrong to hate? Yes. Is it wrong to ostracize? Yes. Jesus says, don't do that. Mark says, follow my gospel. And you're going to see that Jesus was the Lord of resurrection. He resurrected from the beginning of my gospel to the end, and then he himself was resurrected that he may walk with you and may give you the forgiveness of the Father. Are we people of resurrection? And do we provide that resurrection for others? As we go forth this day, my prayer for each and every one of you is that you live a resurrected life, a life in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we stand before you this day, we know that all too often we don't live a resurrected life. We hold our anger and our hate and all these horrible things in our hearts, and we hang on to them as though they're treasured. And they're not, Lord. That is not what you taught us. Help us to free our hearts and minds to love, to forgive, and to help others see the light of resurrection, that they too may walk in newness of life. For we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.